Welcome to Finding Your Epic. This is a show where senior level women share their epic moments, telling the story behind those light bulb experiences where they learned a powerful skill that shaped their career progression. Hosted by me, Jacqueline Frost, founder of Elevate Talent. Today, we are talking with Lucy Newcomb. Lucy is currently Chief People and ESG Officer at Computershare. When I first met Lucy, it was during COVID and we were all adapting to the joys of technology. Unable to hear each other on our video call, I decided to go the old-fashioned way and rang her mobile phone. We did laugh together at how you just can't beat the good old telephone. She had recently moved into her current role, having spent the majority of her career in PR, marketing, and corporate communications. Hearing some of her stories, I knew one thing about her. She is definitely someone you want by your side when things are not going well. Welcome, Lucy.
Thanks, Jacqueline. Great to be here today.
So I love the choice of title for this podcast because it cuts through how often when faced with a problem, we can make life difficult or more difficult for ourselves. When did you realize that your approach to problem solving was so powerful?
It was definitely a gradual realization. I do remember a, you know, particular pivotal moment. I was sat in a office in Australia, our head office, and the chief legal officer at the time had asked me to get involved and run a particular thing, and I was like looking at him with absolute bafflement, thinking, why the hell have you asked me to do this? I don't know the first thing about any of this stuff in any way at all. He said, yeah, but you'll find out about it, you'll break it down into all its parts, and then you'll make it happen, and I need someone that's going to make it happen. And I thought, oh, okay. So I think, though, it was probably born out of, like many females suffer from in the early days, even when I was pretty young, around imposter syndrome. So that whole, that whole feeling of sometimes you're sat somewhere and people are talking about a thing and you don't understand it, or you don't have a background in it, you don't have that knowledge. And I've always been driven to kind of ask the questions to find out about the thing and break it down as simply as possible. Okay, so what you're talking about is this. And it's this and this and this. And if you put those things together, then you get the, Okay, fine. And that, it always made me feel more comfortable that I wasn't a fraud sat at the table, right? That I knew what it was that people were talking about, or at least understand enough about it to be able to contribute or act on it, or, do something with it. And that was right from, I remember a time at school when sports teacher was talking about the rules of hockey, right? I just really wanted to make sure that I understood properly. So I asked loads of questions. I was probably quite an annoying kid at that point. But looking back, I probably suspect they weren't explaining it in the clearest way possible. And me asking a load of questions probably benefited a ton of other people around as well, because by the time I'd finished asking the questions, it was really clear what the rules were and what we were supposed to do. So it's a skill I developed from an early age.
Do you know, it's reminding me of a quote, and I'm trying to rack my brain to think who it is. I think it might be Lao Tzu. The quote, something along the lines of, ask a question and be a fool for 5 minutes. Don't ask the question, be a fool for life, isn't it? It's that ask the questions.
Yeah, that's an absolutely brilliant way of putting it. And I think certainly early days, I was scared to ask the questions, because when you're a child at school, or you're a junior person in a new company and you don't have any seniority and you're not the one in charge and whatever, there's a temptation to sit quiet and stay there and not put yourself out there and be the dummy, right? But I think that quote is brilliant, because you can ask the right questions and be a fool for the 5 minutes while you ask them, right? But I've realized as I've gone along, and I'm considerably older than when I was in that hockey lesson now, but I know now that I am just asking the questions that everyone else around wishes that they were asking or would ask if they had the confidence, right?
I absolutely love that point, because the amount of times I've had that experience myself, or for example, senior women that I've coached over the years,
people will come out and have said, I'm so glad you asked that because I had no idea what he or she was talking about. Same thing with coaching clients who've said, you know, you've said to me so many times, just ask the question, just ask the question. And I remember I used to have a little bit, I used to do like that T, like that timeout sign that people do. It's probably not the dumb thing anymore. But I remember that junior on in my career was that I'd do the T sign and say, I've missed something. Could I just quickly ask a question? And frequently the person say, oh, actually, you didn't miss it. I didn't mention that bit. And a good boss, a good leader, a good colleague will actually say it that way. And obviously others will just not even realize if they have or haven't. But no, it's a real kind of time. I've missed something. I don't connect these two things. So, but you're right. It is a bit of, I actually wonder if it's not so much confidence. It's actually courage and bravery to speak up and to think to yourself, okay, how do I find this out? Because otherwise the rest of the meeting, I'm going to be lost and not going to be able to add value. And so not going to be able to put in my thoughts, my ideas.
Yeah. And the two of us talked about a great example of that previously, when I was the only female in a board meeting and pretty young at the time as well, so early 30s. I was there as part of management in the meeting, and there was a presentation from the CFO at the time, and it went on and on and on and on. And I remember just sitting there thinking, oh my Lord, like, what is he talking about? Like, I understood like probably one word in 10 if I was lucky. And overall, I couldn't work out whether what he was saying meant things were good or bad or indifferent or, whatever. But, I knew that at the end, we were going to be asked to make a decision on this particular thing. And I remember just sitting there feeling, probably sweating, absolutely thinking, oh my God, like, what am I going to do? Because I don't understand. And all these guys, all older than me, all whatever, I'm the only female in the room. Do you ask the questions and, just have them all think, oh, look, this woman isn't up to being in this room at all, right? Or this youngster or this whatever, their perception was of me. But I was saved from doing that because at the end of the CFO's presentation, the global CEO said, right, well, it looks to me like it's lunchtime. So we're all going to have some lunch. You're going to take some sandwiches away with you and work on making that presentation more simple for everyone to understand, because I have no idea what you're talking about at all. And if we're going to vote on this thing and make a decision, I don't vote on things I don't understand. And I remember just this massive sense of relief coming over me that there was someone else who was quite happy to admit that they didn't understand what was being said. And he was the global CEO. So if he was prepared to admit it, then and honestly, I don't think I've ever been scared since then. And I wasn't too scared before, but that was an intimidating session where everyone was easily 10, 20 years older than me and all male. And, but since then, I've never been scared to say I don't understand something. Right? That's just, he really empowered me. And I thought, if he can sit there and say that, and this poor chap, got his sandwiches on a plate and headed off and came back. And to be fair to him, he did a much better job when he came back of breaking it down into chunks. Then there was a Q&A session, and then at the end we all voted, and I felt like it had been explained much more simply. I'd had the chance to ask questions. I didn't feel bad about asking my questions because the CEO had already led the way and opened that door for people to ask those kind of questions, and then I felt very comfortable voting on it. But my team, I've heard that anecdote from me loads of times. They hear me ask questions all the time. We had a US 401k adjustment meeting yesterday, right? I'm not a US citizen. I know what a 401k is, obviously, but I'm not familiar with the intricate details of how that might work for someone, right? And my team know and expect that I'm going to ask as many questions as I need to understand before I make a decision that's going to affect our employees. And they know that I expect them to do the same things in their meetings too. And I think that's really empowering for people, so that they're not walking blindly into a situation.
Yeah, and it's really important. I mean, you've mentioned the word empowering a few times, and the fact you felt empowered by this senior leader asking questions. And I think it's almost kind of being given permission or given license to do it as well, isn't it? Because you say, well, that person's doing it. And it's one of those things that there's an expression people like to use, if you can't see it, you can't be it. And I think that's always a little bit one-dimensional. I don't think that's strictly correct. But what is absolutely true is that if you can see it, you are more likely to be it. So if you can see others behaving in this way, you are much more likely to use that behavior. And that can work two ways, because that can be a positive, but also that can also give license to negative behavior. But for keeping to the positive, you know, is there anything more recently or since that date where when you actually did ask the question, you realized in hindsight, oh my goodness, if I hadn't done that, if I hadn't been asking the question, if I hadn't said, I don't understand this, make it more simple, actually the result would have been quite, what you'd end up with a very negative result. Is there anything in particular that you can think of? Or there's so many, you think, which one do I share?
It's the latter, that's for sure, right? And just to be clear, I don't always ask the right questions either, right? You can, you know, you still get that wrong, even if you think you've asked all the right questions. You know, sometimes you are also reliant on people to sort of get into the spirit of it and think, well, she's asking all these questions, so she clearly wants to hear this stuff. She hasn't asked this question, but I'm going to tell her anyway, because, you know, she clearly wants to know and understand. And, you know, the vast amount of people I work with get that, and they volunteer that information. People don't always volunteer it. And if I don't think to ask the right question, then I can still make the wrong decision. But it's not from lack of trying, right, I think would be the thing. I think, you know, one of the most intimidating parts of the new role that I took on, managing the essentially the HR function, we call it the people function. I've never been a fan of the sort of human capital or human, you know, human relations, you know, type title, was running payroll. So, you know, payroll is a bit of a dark art, and it sits somewhere firmly between finance and tax and the people team. And, you know, you really do have to make sure you ask the right questions in payroll. So when someone's coming to you and saying, you know, there's this situation with this acquisition we've made and taxes like this and, you know, 401k's like that and da 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 da, and we could do this or we could do that, you know, like, you've really, really got to ask the right questions. And I think the key thing in there is, you know, bringing in colleagues and support who are going to help you ask the right questions. So I bring in tax and I say, well, I don't know the right questions to ask here, but my colleague here in tax is going to ask the questions and I'm going to listen to what they think of the answers to those questions, or my colleague in, you know, risk is going to ask these questions, you know, whatever it might be. So that's been something that I had to learn, that, you know, I wasn't necessarily expected to know all the right questions to ask about really super specialist topics and subjects like payroll, right? And bringing in the people who are going to ask the questions for you because they know what the questions are, you know, is important. Without that, there's definitely been plenty of times I'd have made completely the wrong decision, right, on a payroll, you know, thing, that's for sure, right? So being prepared to, you know, empower others and ask them to ask the right questions for you is an important thing as well.
I think that's a great comment, because it's, again, one thing that we share as part of so the podcasts are called Finding Your Epic, and Epic stands for exposure, performance, impact, and conscious. And that's the formula, which is the base of the Elevate program that we've been running now for 8 years. And under the E for exposure, the story just shared there is exactly how we frame exposure. People talk about, oh, it's not what you know, it's who you know. And we say that's not what we mean by exposure or visibility. What we mean by that is it's who knows you and how you can help them. It's making sure other people know what value, what knowledge you bring. So in that circumstance, you know, if it's in your example, it's very straightforward, it's tax, it's risk. But not everything's that straightforward in life, is it? I mean, simplicity would be great if you could just simply find the right person, you knew it straight away. So if people don't share their knowledge that they have or their experience they have, then people can't come to you when they need your help, when you can bring that experience. And I love that story, because sometimes it is straightforward that you know who to go to. Because it's really important to make the right decision. And what a shame if your knowledge and experience isn't being used as a resource for a company, or for an organization, for a team, you know, for a department, whoever it is. That resource is so important to have. And again,
yeah, sorry, Jacqueline. One of the things I would say is, you know, many companies these days have like an internal networking platform, you know, so maybe their internal version of, you know, Twitter or, you know, whatever, Facebook, etc. And one of the things that that enables you to do is to update your profile with the things that you know about. So we encourage all of our employees to, you know, put on that platform their skills, their experience, etc. And, you know, I use that regularly, right? So it could be it's late at night, I've got an IT challenge, you know, etc. But someone in another country might be awake, right? And I can go and do a little search on the platform, find, you know, someone and go, just, hey, I've got this issue, you know, could you? And they go, oh, yeah, da, 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 da. The same for language skills. You know, I might have a shareholder or whatever contact me in Polish or whatever. So I'll go on and I'll find someone who's listed Polish as their skills and I'll reach out to them and say, hey, I need some help, right? And I mean, these days with AI, you can get translation stuff more quickly. But, you know, there's, I think, to your point about sharing your skills and making people aware, if you've got those internal platforms where you can put your skills, your experience, etc., to enable people to find you when they need that help, you know, I'd encourage people to do that for sure.
Out of interest, do you know how frequently people actually do update their profiles, and are they encouraged? Because that's a genius idea. That's such a good idea. And as you say, if you're working late in the evening and you've got an IT issue, I personally find IT issues so frustrating. I have so little tolerance and patience when something's not working. So it's a really great idea. But do you have any idea of how how good people are actually keeping?
I think there's a little bit of one-upmanship from people. They like to, you know, they like to put their skills and experience out there. So I think we've got it to a point where, you know, people see the value in it. They get value out of it in themselves, and they want to give the value back to others. And we have, through our internal communications, we do regular pushes on people updating that type of information, right? So, you know, so yeah, I think, yeah, it's pretty frequent. There's some people that are blank, but that's their choice, and, you know, that's, you know, down to them. And there's others that have got so much stuff that it's hard to, you know, hard to see the wood for the trees, but, you know, it's definitely something that people do update.
But that's also interesting, isn't it? Some people don't do it at all and some people do too much. Because again, like all these skills, you know, is that balance, isn't it? Is that getting it just right? It's kind of the Goldilocks approach, isn't it? Not too hot, not too cold, just right.
Not too much, not too little.
Yes, exactly. And it's because also behind all this, you know, the personalities come in, don't they? And some people are more private, some people like to share. And it's basically making sure that what you're writing is, it's not from your perspective, it's making it easy for people to find you, isn't it? So actually, if you do too much, it's a little bit, you know, we get this quite a lot feedback from the sessions when we talk about visibility exposure. And we'll say, oh, you know, there's some people just always the loudest voice in the room. And, you know, the meeting will be, you know, 50, 55 minutes long, and there'll be two people who will talk for about 45 minutes of it. And I will say that that's great, but that's not actually achieving the end result, is it? It's not making things happen. It's not moving the dial. It can't just be visibility for visibility's sake. There's got to be a purpose behind it. It's got to be a reason for it. So I love the fact that you have that platform, because it's raising everybody's visibility for them. But the bottom line is the purpose, is a reason for it. It's to help, you know, connect people with the knowledge that you might need, as you say, at 10 o'clock at night.
To help people to do business, right? That's what we're all here for, right? It's what we're employed for. So, yeah. And I think one of the things, you know, getting back to the simplicity piece and how has that helped me, I would say if people look at my career, you know, they might find it slightly strange, right? You know, that I was originally a journalist. I moved over into PR and expanded into marketing, took on ESG stuff, ran corporate communications, and now here I am running a HR function that includes, you know, payroll. But I think if you work on that ability to be able to break down complex things into simple chunks, make sure you understand them, don't be scared to ask those questions, there's no reason you can't do anything, right? And, you know, I didn't realize that in my 20s. I certainly realized it in my 40s, that, you know, I've just been asked to take on, you know, a new project on the side of a few things, nothing to do with HR or people in any way at all, a big tech project. And, you know, I know, and I have the confidence now that I can do it. because I will just keep asking the questions and breaking it down into the component parts to enable me to build up a plan to deliver the thing, like, to the deadlines on time, you know, whatever needs doing. So I think honing that skill of breaking things down so that you understand it really enables you to deliver a plan that can then, you know, hit the deadlines and deliver the successful outcome for the business. And you can do that and replicate that across a whole bunch of different functions. So when people ask me, how did you end up, you know, running HR? Well, A, I have a passion for people and development and, you know, all those things. So, you know, that was a natural fit. But, you know, I didn't need to know a lot about HR. You just need to know and not be scared to ask the questions and to break it down into those simple bits. So I think, you know, if people can take that message away from my experience and use it to help them progress their careers and not be scared to step outside the box.
That's one of the reasons why I wanted to interview you for the podcast, because you have this amazing journey of a career where you've started one place and ended up somewhere very, very different. And I think that allows also from a perspective, you know, from a career, it gives you the breadth of experience. People talk about careers like ladders, like they're quite narrow and they're tall, whereas we talk about careers like a climbing wall. You know, it's wide, and if you can move sideways and move up in a different direction. And sometimes you can be in an area that you think, actually, this is no longer enjoying it as much. Or maybe I don't think this suits my skills as I've grown over the last 10 years in my career. And that's why I like the fact that you've gone up a climbing wall rather than a ladder, as you've kind of veered right, left and centre, wherever to get up to your position now, which I think is a great thing for others to see. And I love the fact that you said that actually this skill of simplicity is the one that's allowed you to do this. I do have one last question I want to ask you though, because one thing that people do like to hide behind when they are delivering presentations or talking is jargon, you know, referring to, you know, APC, CTA, you know, hiding behind, you know, that. And when you are new to an area, the jargon is huge. It's almost like learning a new language because you're having to, you know, get used to. So how do you, you know, how do you handle it when somebody's, you know, using the jargon? Because I think that I think people hide behind it personally and make it sound like they know what really very knowledgeable. It's a way of showing their knowledge, I think. How do you handle that when people are big on their jargon?
I think, look, honestly, it's simply, I'm just going to have to say, well, you're going to have to humour me because I don't understand any of those things. So you're going to have to tell me what they are, right? That's just, you know, and they will then very soon get into the habit of not using the jargon because they know I'm just going to stop them and make them sit down and, you know, tell me what all of those things are. The other thing I did actually introduce into our company is a acronym buster. So we have this sort of big data, you know, we're a big company, right? We do lots of different things. There's tons of jargon. And we have this big database and people can go and put their ABC in, you know, whatever it is, and then write a short description of what that thing is. So say you're in a presentation, you know, maybe it's not the kind of one where, you know, maybe there's 200 people and questions are at the end. If you want to know as you're going along,
yeah,
I always try the acronym finder, right? I go, well, that thing you just thought, is it in there or not? Because if it's not, I'm going to be sending him a note afterwards going, you know, you want to add all that stuff to the acronym thingy because I couldn't work out what you were talking about as we went along. But no, honestly, it is, I will just stop it out and, you know, call it and just say, no, hang on a sec, don't understand what that is, so you're just gonna have to tell me, right? So, and you're right, people can hide behind it. You know, certainly I find in the benefits world, you know, it is like a whole new language. I sometimes wonder,
it is,
that how many languages there are out there in different industries, you know, that just in our day-to-day lives, we're never going to come across at all, right? And but the people speak them on a day-to-day basis because they know what it is in their area. And I think that's fascinating. But it comes back to that point of always ask. If you don't know what it is, ask. And if you're doing a presentation, you know, I'm a massive fan of just, you know, starting with a glossary page, right? Which is, right, I'm going to talk about a whole bunch of things this time. Your first page you've all got in there is a glossary which covers some of the acronyms, because I'm going to find it hard not to use them, but you can refer to them as we go along, right? It's, yeah.
Yeah, making, well, simplicity, it's about making it easy for others, isn't
Absolutely.
It? It's that, that's, yeah, that's the goal. Yeah. That is the goal. Now, as we always say at the end of a session, we have a final thought we'd like to share. And I know you have a brilliant one and a great story behind it. So please share your final thought, Lucy.
Well, this is interesting because when you said to me, oh, you know, we like to share these final thoughts and, you know, we're always keen to try and get thoughts from, you know, women if we can, but it doesn't have to be female. And I said, well, Jacqueline, mine isn't even a real person. But this is something that really resonated with me many years ago. So I was a big fan growing up of J.R.R. Tolkien's books and The Hobbit and The Lord of the Rings. And my favourite quote is from Gandalf, and it's, all we have to decide is what to do with the time that is given us. And I think it really speaks back to that simplicity piece, right? I could spend my time on this planet overcomplicating things and making things as difficult as possible and not achieving as much as I could do. Or I can make sure I understand it, break it down, simplify it and achieve more, in my view. And that's what I'm deciding to do with the time that's given to me. And in my bedroom, there's a little bit of the ceiling that juts down, you know, and I have that quote in gold lettering across the across that bit. So when I wake up in the morning, that is the first thing that I see. And I find it inspiring, right? You know, well, what am I going to decide to do with my time today? And sometimes that is have a lazy day in bed and read my book, right? But I've made that decision and that's, you know, that's what I'm doing. But other times, you know, I've got things I want to achieve and I'm about to get on with it. So that's my favorite quote. Not a real person and not a woman, sorry, but that is, you know, that's my quote.
But it's a great one. And it's, and what's important is it what it's, what it means for you. And I think that's the key of this. It's a final thought that really resonates and means something for you. And I love it. And I love the story behind it. And I love the fact you have it written on your bedroom ceiling as well. I think that's absolutely fantastic. Thank you so much, Lucy. We hope you've enjoyed the podcast on the topic of epic simplicity. Now go find your epic.
Thank you for listening today. If you would like to learn more about any of the tools and strategies discussed, please do reach out to us on LinkedIn or contact us via the website on team@elevatetalent.co.uk. Now go find your epic.